app, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. ABC pulls the Jimmy Kimmel Live show from the air indefinitely. It comes after Nexstar Media said it would preempt airings of the show from its affiliate stations over comments made about the motives of the Utah man who's charged with killing conservative activist Charlie Kirk 1 week ago. Jimmy Kimmel sang during Monday's monologue.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
FCC Chairman Brendan Carr saying on The Benny Show on YouTube,
we can do this the easy way or the hard way. These companies can find ways to change conduct, to take action, frankly, on Kimmel, or, you know, there's going to be additional work for the FCC ahead.
Robert Thompson is a pop culture professor at Syracuse University.
I think we're going to see the likes of late night television's attitude and what it does, and even the people that do it, like Colbert and like Kimmel. I just don't think they're going to be doing it on network TV. And for that matter, I'm not sure for how much longer anybody's going to be doing anything on network TV.
President Trump posts on social media that the cancellation of Jimmy Kimmel's show is great news for America. In another post, Trump also says that he is designating Antifa a major terrorist organization. Trump is posting online while in the UK on a historic second day visit, state visit. Protesters are there.
Donald Trump, you can't hide.
We charge you with genocide.
The president has attended a banquet with King Charles, and CBS's Ed O'Keefe on What's Next.
Some meatier conversations on Thursday with the prime minister up at his country estate. The U.S.-UK trade agreement top of mind as both countries are eager to demonstrate to their own countries and to the world that that agreement is now in place.
Three police officers in Pennsylvania are killed and two are in critical condition after being shot while serving a warrant in North Cordaris Township near the Pennsylvania-Maryland line. Pennsylvania State Police Colonel Christopher Paris says the shooter is dead and...
I'd just like to say on a very personal note, our hearts and prayers go out to them, to the families of the deceased and the families of those officers who were wounded.
An investigation is underway. For the first time this year, the Federal Reserve cuts its key rate by a quarter percentage point and signals more possible cuts. President Trump has been pushing Fed Chair Jerome Powell to do this sooner, Powell saying today,
I think we were right to wait and see how tariffs and inflation and the labor market evolved.
StubHub has made its public debut on Wall Street. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
The magic number is 7. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers host the LA Angels again tonight. Last night, the crew with a 9-2 win. Christian Yelich, a 2-run homer in the fourth. Now, 7 is the Brewers' magic number to clinch the division, but Yelly says it's still too early for all that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to focus on winning that night, like not even thinking about like the magic number. We need to just keep stacking wins and playing good baseball, and that'll take care of itself. You can't do that in one night. And you start looking ahead, then things can get away from you a little bit.
College football, the Badgers, getting ready to host Maryland Saturday at Camp Randall, kickoff 11 a.m. NFL, Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed confirming he's now had surgery to repair his broken collarbone and foot fracture. Meanwhile, Christian Watson says his new contract extension takes some pressure off as he tries to come back from that torn ACL.
For me, I mean, it was really just to, you know, take that pressure off of myself so I can kind of just go out there when I get back and just play free.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Mostly cloudy, isolated storms tonight and a low in the low 60s. Partly sunny for tomorrow, still the chance of rain, highs in the upper 70s. More storms around Friday, high low 70s. Rain chances continue into the weekend.
Right now it's 73.
Pat Kreitlow. On Thursday, we'll talk to yet another new 2026 candidate for legislature, and we'll talk vaccines with Dr. Kelly Snook.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Big Ten opener against the Maryland Terrapins. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Mattmair on Air. Jane Mattmair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy show coming up for you today. Our guest, James Vanderloo. Mm-hmm. From the OEC Group, Milwaukee is going to be joining us in hour number two. They deal with importers and exporters.
Yes.
And so we're going to be talking about supply chains and tariffs on today. Mm-hmm. Not so much tomorrow. Who knows next week?
Yeah.
Businesses just love insecurity.
Yeah, they love uncertainty.
Yes, there's nothing. Businesses just love that. So we'll be talking to James Vanderloo to talk about what he is hearing from his clients and what he expects to see with the supply chain going forward. In the next half an hour after the 9:30 news, Bennett Goldstein is a reporter with the Wisconsin Watch. Mm-hmm. And he is going to be joining us. And we're going to be talking about food insecurity and addressing food insecurity in more rural parts of the state. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people always assume that food insecurity and people having trouble making ends meet only happens in urban areas. That is not the case.
Nope. And it's the story is going to highlight how one county is coming together to meet the challenges meet the challenges created by federal cuts to food programs.
Exactly. So that will be happening in about a half an hour after the 9:30 news. Last half an hour of the show, as we always do, we will lighten it up with a segment we call Audio Sorbet. Today, thank you, Calvin. This generated from something we were kicking around in the office before we got on the air. Technology, are you the helper or are you the helpy? Calvin's the helpy, at least for me.
He's the helper.
He's the helper, yes. I am way the helpy.
I'm sorry, me, Calvin.
You have helped, yeah. Yes, I'm sorry, yeah. Greg Bach, you're both my helpers.
Wow.
I apologize.
Okay.
You can beat me up later.
Whoa.
But
calm down, lady.
Are you the helper or are you the helpy? And we would love to know more specifics about trying to help your parents. Send emails or whatever.
Or maybe your parents have to help you. You never know.
That's it could be.
Yeah, you
that's
never
very
know.
Possible.
You never
and know. Then at the very end, as we always do, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the Fyre Fest. What could go wrong this time? Jeez. Edition. This is like volume four.
This
or
is volume
five.
Four for us. Yeah.
Yeah. There's been quite a few. So stay tuned for that. We do have baseball coming up later on today, 6:05. Our broadcast starts as the Brewers host the Angels. You can listen to the game. Does have to be on terrestrial radio. So catch it tonight starting 6:05 WRCE in Ridgeland Center. Here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN, WCQM in Park Falls. And our newest Milwaukee Brewers affiliate in Hayward, WBZH. So the Brewers and the Angels, our broadcast starts 6:05.
Got that playoff spot. We need that division. We're Still too close.
It's close.
Yeah, I know.
Because the Cubs just won, right?
And the Brewers won last night. It's still five games apart. Which
it's tight.
It's tight.
They can do it.
Widen that berth.
We'll have more sports tomorrow.
That's right, we will. Because it's Thursday.
It is Thursday, so join us for that. Some breaking news as we're coming on the air also this morning. Francesca Hong has officially entered the governor's race. Francesca has been a guest on our show, and she appeared with Pat Kreitlow this morning shortly after making her announcement. A Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says Francesca Hong prefers wild card to underdog.
Yeah.
And she's got a new ad out announcing her candidacy. Pretty straight. She's a straight talker.
Oh, yeah. There's no mincing words with Representative Hong right there. None whatsoever. And that makes it five candidates thus far. Officially, Sarah Rodriguez, David Crowley, Francesca Hong, Kel DeRoyes, and I cannot remember his first name, Mr. Strand.
Calvin, do you remember?
Is it Strand or Strand?
Ryan Sternad.
Sternad. Ryan Sternad, who is a beer vendor at the ballpark in Milwaukee. All five have officially launched their campaigns on the Democratic side. And it's going to be, I mean, this is...
We got a long way to go yet.
And this isn't the end of people joining the race. We still have, there's still thoughts. People, you know, I hear things about Josh Call. I hear wisps about Cavalier Johnson, but I don't personally think he's going to.
I don't think with Crowley in the race, I don't see Cavalier running.
I agree. So it's just going to... We wanted 2025 off. We really did. It would have been nice to get like a vacation, but we're in it.
And
2026, gird up. Here we go.
Yeah. Ah! Going to be many, many, many things to come. And we will keep up on that. And obviously we will look to book Fran Hong on the program and get her back. And of course, as far as I know, she's the only one who of the candidates who is an expert on tater tots. It's an edge. You got to take
well,
the more
you got
you
my
get
vote, I guess.
Well, I'm just throwing that out there. Again, we will effort to get Fran Hong on the show in the next couple of weeks. We wanted to start off with this. If you are wondering about getting a COVID vaccine,
correct? Yes.
There has been a lot of confusion, especially now with Bob Jr., the head of the health department, and the CDC, and they're changing vaccine requirements right and left. And there has been confusion, and I've also seen on various social media sites with folks who have tried to get a COVID shot and they can't.
Yeah.
So this from the Wisconsin Examiner, Baylor Spears has the byline. Governor Evers issues executive order aimed at protecting vaccine access. Governor Evers says, quote, vaccines save lives. Spreading fear, distrust, and disinformation about safe and effective vaccines isn't just reckless. It's dangerous. RFK and the Trump administration are inserting partisan politics into healthcare, and the science-based decisions of medical professionals are putting the health and lives of kids, families, and folks across our state at risk in the process. So according to the governor, his executive order directs the State Department of Health Services to take steps towards protecting access.
Mm-hmm.
This includes monitoring and reviewing immunization recommendations, giving guidance on the COVID shots, determining additional measures that may be needed to provide clarity and guidance on other routine vaccines. We talked to Dr. Kristen Lyerly earlier this week. Yeah. Measles is spreading.
Yes, it is.
In Wisconsin.
Yes, it is.
We had eradicated measles.
Yeah, we thought it was gone, and then it came back, and people are... And there are some folks out there who have an attitude towards it, like, measles... Wait, what's... Because it's been gone for so long, and I think you mentioned this... that the sheer force of measles is clearly underestimated. People just kind of equate it to like, you know,
like a flu. It's a cold
flu or chicken pox or something like that. Like, oh, just take a little medicine. You'll be fine. No, measles have lasting effect on people, especially kids.
Yes.
So just get vaccinated. Don't just get vaccinated. I'm being paid by no one for this, okay? No one's paying me to say this.
Big Pharma, we're waiting for all those big checks to come in.
Oh, Mother Glory, my gosh. All those, they gave me a Culver's gift card to tell you to get vaccinated.
Yeah, no, that hasn't happened.
No.
So again, the governor of Wisconsin, state of Wisconsin Health Department taking some steps so that people who want it can get it. At the Department of Health Services, Dr. Ryan Westergaard, Chief Medical Officer, State Epidemiologist for Communicable Diseases, has issued a standing medical order recommending the vaccine for all eligible Wisconsin residents this fall. With the order, no prescription is needed. And also, I saw in this article, also from the Wisconsin Examiner, that says it will not require a patient copayment.
Exactly. Yeah, they're doing all the work to make sure that it's as easy and as affordable, if not free, for Wisconsinites to just get that vaccination. And that is, you know, we're in 2025. You know, 10 years ago, this really would not have been a thing.
It's just so interesting when I think about the anti-vax movement.
Mm-hmm.
And originally, it seemed to me more of the stereotypical granola eating, you know, off the grid living kind of granola. Folks. But it was more of a hippy dippy thing.
Well, I mean, it was, but that's the kind of the wild thing now is that I would always equate that my apologies to those who are hippy dippy, but like hippy dippy, you always would say like, oh, they're liberals. They're going to, they believe in oneness and blah, 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 whatever else you want to say. But it's that weird anti-vax culture that has worked its way into the Eastern medicine world where not only are they, I mean, it was, there's no doubt there's a record and a history for them saying, hey, you don't need modern Western medicines. You can take this.
This herbal treatment.
And I get that. I totally understand. But what has happened now is this disdain for the medical industry
and rejection of
where they're putting on red hats and voting for Trump in a way that's as vitriolic as just the mega base as it is. So it's coming from all ends. And the you know, I told you before that I fell into a rabbit hole on YouTube about debunking various conspiracy theories. And the one thing that always grabs me with the vaccination movement is that there is no, while there's piles of proof to show that vaccines work, there's nowhere near enough proof to show that they cause any sort of lasting damage to the greater population. That doesn't include those who could legitimately become injured from the vaccine or have certain side effects or, you know, things happen. That's just how it works with vaccines. But what the thing that always gets me is there's no proof that there's scientists out there who are just bathing in money. All these scientists, all these doctors through the years who have done the research, the trials, who have recommended, who have said, yes, this vaccination works. I would like for your child. They're not getting
rich,
millionaire. They're not getting planes and pools and cars and boats. So this conspiracy of like, well, it's big pharma, but big pharma is always big pharma, regardless of the medicine. But vaccines, you think that this is some sort of funnel of money for a certain subsect of our society, which is the medical industry. I know doctors who are not getting rich off of prescribing vaccinations, especially ones that are like for the measles, COVID, flu, whatnot.
Well, I just think when we're talking to kids about going into, you know, what do you want to do? What do you want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of people. Be an epidemiologist. That's where the money is.
Oh,
baby.
My gosh.
That's what, you know, yeah, that's the career path you want to take.
Yeah.
Because research is so lucrative.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. It's not.
It's not.
No.
And I think of some of the doctors who are prevalent on social media, Dr. Peter Hotz, who has been involved in it for a long time. Look at the way they demonized Dr. Anthony Fauci,
mm-hmm.
who had been in public service and public health for decades.
Our current Health and Human Services Secretary wrote an entire book about Dr. Fauci and, quote, his lies.
Our current one.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the thing that will never make sense to me. One, like, I don't understand why you can never make it make sense to me. On any, from the economic to the health reasons, why you think vaccinations are a bad thing. And don't come at me with, well, I'm a skeptic. No, you're just a contrarian. There's a difference.
Sue from Franklin texting in, listening on WAUK. I saw something on the news this morning. Insurance companies have agreed to pay for COVID vaccines. So if you want to get one,
mm-hmm.
go get one.
Yes, please.
Yep, absolutely. If you were affected by the floods that we had, seems just a month ago.
It was,
wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
There's help. We'll tell you how you can get it. On the other side, stay close. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Canopy, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same. You can do both. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 9:30 news, Bennett Goldstein is going to join us. He's a reporter for Wisconsin Watch, and we're going to talk about Juneau County specifically and their efforts to fight the growing number of people who need access to food.
Yeah.
And this is not just an urban issue. Food insecurity exists all across the state.
Yes.
And so we're going to talk to Bennett about some of his reporting for the Wisconsin Watch on this particular program in Juneau County that seems to be having some success. Also, just a little bit of a reminder to download the Civic Media app.
Ooh, why?
Because, first and foremost, this Friday is the last day, last free ticket Friday of this season.
It's the last day.
It's the last Friday ever. No, it is our final free ticket Friday. Your last chance to pick up a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. Brewers are doing pretty hot right now.
Could be hotter. Would like one or two more victories.
Let's not do, okay.
Hey, I'm not. Hey.
You can win a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets this coming Friday for the final time. Starting at 6 a.m., you cannot win.
Well, I know I can't win because you've told me that every week and it kind of hurts after a while. But the point is Jane, when we say club level, does that mean like fancy?
It means there's a special hallway to get there.
Ooh. Is it carpeted?
I believe it is carpeted because you and I were there last year. And then there's a special entrance.
Yeah.
And they have little special restaurants and you have access to bathrooms. That's a big thing for people of a certain age.
I would like to make it clear that in the entirety of American Family Field, you have access to bathrooms.
Yes, there are other bathrooms, but these are dedicated to the club level. So there's less competition.
You have to fight it out.
For access.
You are forgetting one major bragging point of club level seats. Squishy chairs.
Squishy seats.
They're very comfy. Oh, my goodness. Yep. Your tush and your back will not hurt after watching wonderful baseball. So, yeah, get the Civic Media app on your device. When we give you the keyword, you're going to text that keyword in. It must be spelled correctly, and you can only participate on the app. It has to be through there.
Yep.
And then you'll be entered to win that four-pack. And you'll have five chances throughout the day on Friday.
Starting with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9, then our show from 9 to 11, Tom Hartman 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Also, there are rumors, Greg Bach.
And Pete Schwabba.
And Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8.
Yeah. What's that? What's the rumor?
That once we have the final free ticket Friday, this Friday,
yeah,
there could be another multi-state text to win contest coming right around the corner.
Are we crazy here?
So much winning. So many prizes.
So much winning.
Download the Civic Media app. Yeah. It is
absolutely free.
All right. As we promised, there is finally FEMA assistance
that's
now available to people who were just devastated by the 1,000-year flood that we had in parts of southeastern Wisconsin just about a month ago. The only thing is there are a whole bunch of caveats in order to get this help.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't get any other help, which means you can't get any of your damage covered by an insurance company or enter any similar kind of reimbursement programs. You have to have been living in that property as your primary residence. So if this was a secondary home, that's not going to apply. You have to be an owner or a renter. Your home has to have sustained disaster-caused damage, going back to this 1,000-year flood. And you must be a U.S. citizen, a non-citizen national, or a qualified alien. So you can get this help through FEMA. Again, talking about that disastrous flooding that we had just about a month ago in southeastern Wisconsin, you can do it online. It's disasterassistance.gov. You can also call the FEMA helpline. We'll include all this stuff in the show notes.
All this in the show notes already,
800, I mean, we'll put the number in the show notes. I would suggest it's probably going to be faster if you can do it online.
Correct. Absolutely. And especially like we were talking about the whole 211 reporting as well. If you do the reporting, it's best to do it online. That way you don't have to wait on the phone. You don't have to worry about
and
being
overwhelmed
transferred.
That system. Yep.
Yeah. And I didn't realize there were so many caveats, especially the one of you can't get insurance money and get FEMA. That just to me seems, although at this point, I feel like I could rely more on FEMA than insurance as far as what we're seeing coming through as yeah, exactly. So
it really depends.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you apply for FEMA assistance, you have to tell FEMA about any insurance coverage that you have that can help.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you do have insurance, you have to give FEMA proof of it, a settlement, or explaining that you got denied coverage. So again, we will include all of this in our show notes. You mentioned this earlier this week that I think is a really good idea as well. Floodplains have been changing as more of this flooding has happened.
Correct.
Due to climate change and the warming climate. Call your...
There's two places two ways you can do it. If you still have a mortgage, call your bank and they should have someone, either your mortgage lender or your mortgage broker or someone on staff who has that information. And if it changes, they will let you know. That is what ours told us. Or you can go right to your municipality and talk to somebody. And I believe it would probably, and the name of the department is escaping me right now. But just go to your municipality, your town hall, city hall, ask who you would speak to about floodplains.
And whether or not your home is located in a floodplain.
Correct. And that way you can be assured and possibly insured about it.
Again, we'll put it all in the show notes. You can find it at civicmedia.us. Mm-hmm. Once the show is over, just click on shows, go to Matt Nair on Air, and there is about 100 archived programs there. Greg does a great job with the show notes. All the links will be in there. We have news coming up next, and then we're talking about food assistance in Juneau County. Bennett Goldstein with Wisconsin Watch is our guest. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
CBS News Special Report. Comments made about the murder of conservative activist Charlie Kirk leads to the Jimmy Kimmel Live show being taken off the air indefinitely. President Trump calls it great news for America. This Hollywood tourist lined up to see the show but was told to leave.
There was no explanation. Like, we were keep asking each other, and we didn't know what was going on.
ABC's announcement came after similar moves by TV station owners Nexstar and Sinclair. FCC Chairman Brendan Carr.
They have a license granted by us at the FCC, and that comes with it an obligation to operate in the public interest. But frankly, when you see stuff like this, I mean, look, we can do this the easy way or the hard way.
Syracuse University TV professor Robert Thompson.
Just like COVID accelerated the trouble with movies released in theaters, I think all of this pressure and all of these threats and stuff are accelerating something that was probably happening anyway.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The magic number is 7. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball. The Brewers host the LA Angels again tonight. Last night, the crew with a 9-2 win. Christian Yelich, a 2-run homer in the 4th. A 7 is the Brewers' magic number to clinch the division, but Yelly says it's still too early for all that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to focus on winning that night, like not even thinking about like the magic number. We need to just keep stacking wins and playing good baseball, and that'll take care of itself. You can't do that in one night. And if you start looking ahead, then things can get away from you a little bit.
College football, the Badgers, getting ready to host Maryland Saturday at Camp Randall, kickoff 11 a.m. NFL, Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed confirming he's now had surgery to repair his broken collarbone and foot fracture. Meanwhile, Christian Watson says his new contract extension takes some pressure off as he tries to come back from that torn ACL.
For me, I mean, it was really just to, you know, take that pressure off of myself so I can kind of just go out there when I get back and just play free.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. The Emmy Awards were a lot of fun for actress Kristen Milioti, who won an Emmy for her role on The Penguin. Once the actual award show ended, though, the night went south. Literally, when Milioti took a tumble and dropped her Emmy while arriving at an after party. The actress plays Sofia Falcone in the Batman spinoff and beat out some pretty stiff competition in Michelle Williams, Rashida Jones, and Cate Blanchett. To the best of my knowledge, the Emmy was not hurt. More news from the Emmys, and more specifically, the show White Lotus. The previous 3 years saw White Lotus as an Emmy darling, but this year the cast was completely shut out despite all 7 supporting actors drawing nominations. White Lotus Season 3 won 1 Emmy this year for original main title music. If a show could win an Emmy Award for beautiful settings, White Lotus would probably be 4 for 4. While on the red carpet, Season 3 stars Parker Posey and Jason Isaacs let it slip that Season 4 will take place in the south of France. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, isolated storms tonight, and a low in the low 60s. Partly sunny for tomorrow, still the chance of rain, highs in the upper 70s. More storms around Friday, high low 70s. Rain chances continue into the weekend. Right now it's 73.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This week, we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for Lieutenant Governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. You can call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by Bennett Goldstein. He is a reporter for Wisconsin Watch, and we're going to be talking about an article that he has been working on about combating hunger in Juneau County in particular. Bennett, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, yeah. Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. First of all, I want to say how impressed I was when I looked at your website this morning and the whole About tab. And you have a very extensive list on what are the responsibilities of journalists and what actual journalists do and what are the responsibilities of true journalism. And I thought that was so impressive because there's such a blurred line, it seems, these days into what actually goes into being a reporter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think just one of the, you know, most important things is to really listen to the needs of local communities and try to connect them with information that they, you know, could benefit from. And then also just, you know, more generally, you know, in particular, I enjoy trying to capture a slice of life stories that can really help people empathize with each other.
Well, tell us about this particular story that you worked on for the Wisconsin Watch about the about Juneau County in specific and what they're doing to combat food insecurity.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So Juneau County is one of Wisconsin's most food insecure regions. And when we say food insecure, we just mean people have, you know, who have a hard time accessing not only accessing food, but also healthy and nutritious food. And in Juneau County in particular, about 1 in 7 residents struggle with poverty and making ends meet. Oftentimes they're elderly, living on fixed incomes. And so last year, Juneau County started a program, you know, where they were able to hand out food that was grown by local farmers. And so when the money, which came from the USDA, was, and then through Wisconsin, you know, it was canceled. And so this year, the county and donors kind of stepped in to run the program again because it was just so well received last year.
And this is something, you know, especially the LFPA program, which we've talked to, I believe Hans Breitenmoser and Darren Von Ruden and Pam Yonke about. This was abrupt that the funding was just stopped, and it left communities like Juneau County in a spot to like, all right, what are we going to do next? And your story shows that this is what happens when communities can come together and take care of this, because they have to, because we're not going to get help from the government on this one. Therefore, they have to do it on their own. And this is a great example of us, as you said, showing empathy and coming together and understanding we all need the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really did come as a surprise because this program, as you said, the LFPA, Local Food Purchase Assistance Program, it was a great way of connecting farmers and helping and fishermen to help feed their communities. And the food went to pantries and food banks and so even though the money was gone, Juneau County was able to run a smaller program this year. And, you know, they're really doing, you know, especially the county staff and employees in some cases are volunteering their time and also getting community members to help fill in some of these gaps and doing the best that they can.
It's tough, Bennett. And I wonder, too, if. Do you think that there's a misconception that hunger only happens in urban areas? Because I looked at where Juneau County is, and Juneau County is essentially northwest of Wisconsin Dells and kind of includes Mauston as the largest community. I just think a lot of people would not associate hunger with that area necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hunger in rural spaces is definitely, just as real as you would think of in big cities. I mean, Linden Station, for instance, where I visited for one of the food distributions, it's only a village of 500 people, and people, were absolutely appreciative of being able to access some of these things, because, sometimes you have to drive, more than 10 miles just to get to the nearest grocery store. And in some of these, rural places, it takes money to get food to them. And so you might see higher prices than you might in an urban environment where there would be more options to get food.
Right. Well, good heavens, if you're in a rural community, the closest place to pick up stuff might be the local gas station. And gas station prices and those mini marts, while it's nice to have an option, those tend to be more expensive than a big grocery store.
And don't have a great amount of selection either.
Yeah.
Right. And then if you don't have access to a car or you're older, mm-hmm. and you can't drive, I mean, then where are you going to get that food?
Well, and two, and you had mentioned that so many senior citizens who are lived on fixed incomes, they want to stay in their communities where they've lived all of their lives, right? And in order for them to stay in those communities, they need a little extra help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And I think what, is so nice is, you'd mentioned the idea of being able to get, food options. Some of the best produce that you can get is comes fresh from the farm, and in Juneau County, I mean, they're really well positioned to be able to grow a lot of these vegetables and get variety that you wouldn't normally see in a gas station or a Dollar General.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Bennett Goldstein, who is a reporter for Wisconsin Watch, and he recently published an article on Juneau County and how they are combating food insecurity due to cuts by the federal government for the LFPA local. I always know the LFPA. It's the, remind me again, Bennett.
Yeah, just the food program, the local food program.
There we go. And one of the things when I read this article, Bennett, was not only, the tenor of it all, the theme of it all can seem very dour and not happy, but really what I see from this story is the joy that the community has by coming together and helping. And I want to point specifically to a young woman interviewed named Laura Mortimer, who said feeding the community through Juneau's LFPA program felt awesome. And she felt like she made new friends and she just wanted to keep going. And though we would love to have the funding back from the government and help and investment from our leaders, it does bring a sense of deeper community. And that's what I got from her words, let alone the entire story, is that in that darkness, you're going to find light.
Right. And I think, what was so amazing about this program, I mean, it a lot of organizations, even when the federal government was funding it, you had a lot of Wisconsin-based organizations like Marble Seed and the Wisconsin Farmers Union and the Wisconsin Food Hub Cooperative. Really came together to, kind of create this very well-oiled machine. And then local communities worked with them to kind of identify the needs that were unique to the residents in those areas. Mm-hmm. And so, with all this groundwork laid, it was, the only thing that was missing was just the money to keep, to pay farmers. And so I think that's, really testament to the success that they have seen and are still seeing. And so now it's just, finding just a little bit of money to help, keep paying the bills.
Well, and you do mention in your article, there is one glimmer of bipartisanship. Oh no, we might agree to do something together. The Strengthening Local Food Security Act that was introduced in July by Senator Jim Justice, a Republican from West Virginia, and Jack Reed, a Democrat of Rhode Island, which would allocate $200 million a year for states to pay farmers and fishers to sell their goods to food providers and to schools. And this is a program that farmers like.
And it's popular with the people.
Yeah. And I mean, and you always think of agriculture as something that, you know, really isn't partisan. And so I think that's part of why this was such a shock when the money went away. But I, you know, as the lawmakers have said, it's very much a win-win-win, because if we want to maintain strong communities, I mean, what better way is there to do that than through growing fresh food and getting it to food pantries and schools?
And I highly encourage folks to read this article, which you will include in the show notes that you can check out just a couple of minutes after the show is over. You mentioned Dave Durth, who's 77. He's been coming to almost every pop-up since the group started in Juneau County, and he heard about it through a local program through dementia classes he goes to with his wife. It's nice to get some fresh vegetables, just something to look forward to, see some people that you know. Going back to the idea of forming some community and getting people out and getting people to know people we're next door.
Absolutely. It's really about the connections within your communities. And I put Bennett's article in there, but I also put a little history on the LFPA as well. And the thing that I find interesting is that the bipartisanship of it all. And, you know, if Republicans and Democrats are coming together, and that's great. I love that. Who doesn't love some compromise and some getting along? We love that in this world. It just begs the question for me, why did we cancel in the first place? But that's a whole other conversation. But I'm just happy that lawmakers are stepping up and leading, because also, you know, as in this article, Bennett, you know, it's not just about the community, it's about the economics. We need to take care of our farmers. And this is a program that will help them make some money and do what they need to do and really, you know, survive and be what everyone calls them, which is the backbone of our country. So this, I mean, for me personally, I thought this was a great story to show how you step up. And the question I have for you really quick is, are you hearing from other counties trying to do the same thing?
Well, yeah, I mean, so there were, I want to say, at least a dozen different programs similar to Juneau County's, you know, when last year and the year before when the government was funding it, a lot of nonprofit organizations and just citizens came together to really create these local networks that kind of tapped into local knowledge and expertise about how the best ways to get food to people who might otherwise struggle. And you know, some of the best things that people can do is really just, you know, pick up the phone and give your, you know, state or federal lawmaker a call and tell them how much, you know, this program, you know, either meant to you or someone you know, or just, you know, through someone you've heard that had an experience through it.
If I wanted to find, say, my lawmakers, the person who represents me, Greg Bach, if I wanted to find their phone number, where would I do such a thing?
That'd be simple. You just go to myvote.wi.gov, type in your information, it will give you all your representatives from your president down to your dog catcher, if you still vote for them, and you can call, you can email, and you can write them a letter. And we always encourage people to be respectful. But in this situation, yes, go there. If you are a recipient of these programs that help you get food, let your lawmakers know that this works for you, because they may or may not know, just because they're not hearing from everybody. So that's an important point, Bennett. Thank you very much. Something we always talk about is getting your voice into heard, because that is that's how we do it.
They do work for us.
Exactly.
Bennett Goldstein is a reporter for Wisconsin Watch. We'll include his great article in our show notes. Thank you so much, Bennett. We hope to have you back. Let us know what you're working on next.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Ladies and gentlemen, pets, imaginary friends, take a listen down memory lane and spread the 411 with 97.5 FM WFHR's Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. If it was released from 1990 to 1999, we will play it Sunday nights 8 to 9. Send me your requests with your beeper, or maybe DM me on the socials, or email me james.maloff@civicmedia.us. Sunday nights 8 to 9 on WFHR's Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. Booyah!
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, Todd Alba Show, 2 to 4 p.m. Todd will be joined by Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And Lincoln Project's Trigvi Olson. Also, they lighten it up. I love this part of it. I love Todd's show, but what's worse?
Yeah.
You never know where it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's always something good.
Yes.
What's worse at 3 o'clock hour today with Todd Alba. Make sure you join Todd from 2 to 4 across the network. This broke this morning. Also, as we were coming on the air, Jerry quits Ben and Jerry's ice cream, saying its independence on social issues has been stifled.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Greenfield, one of the co-founders, is leaving the brand after 47 years. They sold to Unilever.
Yes.
And he said that they were promised they would be able to have independence under the Unilever brand. Now he says, quote, for more than 20 years, Ben and Jerry stood up and spoke out in support of peace, justice, and human rights. That independence existed in no small part because of the unique merger agreement that we negotiated with Unilever. It enshrined our social mission and value in the company's structure in perpetuity. It is very disappointing to come to the conclusion that independence is gone. Greenfield says this happens at a time when our country's current administration is attacking civil rights, voting rights, the rights of immigrants, women, and the LGBTQ community. He says it's easy to stand up and speak out when there's nothing at risk. The real test is when times are challenging and you have something to lose.
I don't disagree with that, especially if it's written into their contract. If they have created a landscape where they get to talk about what they want. I will say that for years, the right has targeted Unilever of all companies.
Which is a massive company.
Massive company of being liberal. And maybe it's not because they're so liberal. Maybe it's because they see the value in saying, hey, we have a company that we want to buy and distribute, or we want to distribute them. Let's, if they're popular enough and they didn't make enough money, let them do what they do because we're going to make money, and let's not put our nose in that part of their business. And thinking about it now, maybe it's the assumption that Unilever is, quote, liberal just because they own Ben and Jerry's or they distribute them. I mean, I don't blame him. They've always been outspoken on their causes. Extremely. And what they believe in. And this is a matter of wait for it. What's that two word? What's those two words? Free speech. It's about free speech.
They are spinning off. Unilever is spinning off its ice cream business, including Ben and Jerry's, into a standalone company called the Magnum Ice Cream Company.
Ugh, that sounds like something in a video game.
It sounds, I have other things it sounds like, which are worse. Spokesperson for this Magnum Ice Cream Company.
Gross.
Says it's forever grateful to Greenfield for his contributions to Ben and Jerry. Thanked him for his service, was not aligned with his viewpoint. We disagree with his perspective. We've sought to engage both co-founders in a constructive conversation on how to strengthen Ben and Jerry's position in the world.
Yeah.
They're committed to carrying on the legacy of peace, love, and ice cream of this iconic, much-loved brand.
That is gross.
That's, Magnum Ice Cream?
Well, no. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a huge company, but it just feels like also nobody. Okay, fine. What a pun wasted on both of you.
I laughed, Greg.
Thank you. But it sounds evil. It sounds like evil. It sounds like the Magnum Ice Cream Company, and we don't align with their personal beliefs. You don't believe in like helping and justice and democracy and free speech. What?
Unilever acquired Ben & Jerry's in 2000 for $326 million. Woof. At the time, Ben & Jerry's said the partnership would help their company expand its social mission, but that has been having many challenges in the years since. They sued Unilever in federal court in New York in November, accusing them of silencing Ben & Jerry's.
That sounds like a breach of contract then.
It actually does.
Yeah.
Although he has resigned from his role, so apparently he's just going to walk away. The company, by the way, opened their first shop at a renovated gas station in Burlington, Vermont. This teeny tiny little company.
I can't think of Ben and Jerry without thinking about the band Fish. They have the ice cream fish food, which is very, very good, but they're both Burlington natives. The band is from Burlington. Ben and Jerry are from Burlington. So when I think Ben and Jerry, I think of Fish. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it because I love both things so much. And there's a Ben and Jerry's location in Milwaukee, and it's totally tasty. But this brings up a big conversation that we actually had before the show, too, that we'll get into another time, I'm sure, is that, you know, especially under contract, they should be able to say what they want. And when a company is coming in and saying, when your distributor or your partner is saying, you shouldn't be talking like that.
Here's my deal. Remember what we agreed to in my deal?
How is what I'm saying impacting the ice cream sales? Because people who think we're woke have thought we were woke for 20 plus years. I don't see anyone not going to Ben and Jerry's because all of a sudden they find out that, you know, they want to help the homeless or make sure that we have social justice in this. It's just, it's absolute bunk to me. And the Magnum Ice Cream Company, disgusting.
Let's write them.
Disgusting.
We'll send them a terse note. Yeah, we'll write a terse note.
It shall be salty, yet sweet.
That's exactly. That's the perfect kind of note for the Magnum Ice Cream Company.
God.
Which again, I have, my brain went in an entirely different bad way. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, supply chains and tariffs on off. Yeah, whatever. That's all coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide. Pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. When in Hollywood, tourists often line up to watch a show taping. Outside the Jimmy Kimmel Live studio.
So I was very excited to watch the show, but there was no explanation at all. They just came out. They told us, we're really sorry, guys. Sorry for the inconvenience. I'm just going to have to ask everyone to leave.
CBS's Matt Piper explains what happened.
ABC says the popular late-night show Jimmy Kimmel Live has been preempted indefinitely following comments Kimmel made on his show in response to the shooting death of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Kimmel made the remarks in his monologue Monday, suggesting allies of President Trump were trying to use Kirk's assassination for political gain. Syracuse University's Robert Thompson.
ABC is going to miss Kimmel, I think, in a lot of ways. That show was an infomercial, oftentimes, for other things that the ABC companies were doing.
On Truth Social, Trump responded to the news, writing in part, "Congratulations to ABC for finally